And now let's just relax a little bit and just ease into the wonderful talk that Judy's going to give us and all the great fellowship here. And I'm just going to give you a little entertainment for about 5 minutes. Thank you, everybody, and I believe next up is the wonderful talk by Judy.
No pressure. Okay. This isn't the last you'll be hearing of Ed today, so there's something to really look forward to a little later on. Now, this book that we've been reading, let's see. The Anatomy of Healing Prayer. This was written at the very end of Ernest Holmes' life. And these are all talks that were transcribed by Dr. George Bendel. And most of these were from talks that were given to a small group of people in his inner circle, could have been practitioners. And what I found really interesting, I was thinking, you know, you had George Bendel who transcribed the talks, and now we have Dr. Carolyn who records our talks for eventually posting on a website. How times have changed. So I was, you know, I found this book, I'd never read it before, very different from earlier books that I had read of Holmes. So I started doing a little digging. And in this week's Washington Post, there was an article on the brain and aging that applies to this book because it represents the culmination of years dedicated to teaching, to prayer, meditation, and building this enormous movement that continues even today. And it said that older individuals also have the potential for greater wisdom built off a lifetime of experiences. And some researchers have suggested that brain circuitry, which is tied to emotional processing and moral decision-making, might be involved in different components of wisdom, although this research is still somewhat limited. So if you're reading this book, just remember it reflects highly evolved thinking. Now, Holmes died at the age of 73, I believe it was. And I started thinking that some of us are either close to that age or may have passed it. And I started wondering, well, have I gotten to the point of highly evolved thinking? And of course, maybe not, maybe. But that's something, you know, we can think about, is that as we age, our mind continues to evolve. And so Holmes, as always, is a good example of somebody that I want to be someday. The chapter itself starts out with a reminder that according to Holmes, prayer is not a supplication to a distant God, which is the way I was always taught in Sunday school, was that God was out there someplace. And he defines our prayer or treatment as the time, the process, and the method necessary to change or redirect our thought and clearing away all negation, doubt, and fear, and causing us to feel that presence of God. And it might be a challenge for some of us. And it certainly was for me, who was brought up thinking that God was out there. God was like sitting in a chair someplace high up in the sky. That was the image I was taught back in Sunday school. And that hasn't been my experience since then, fortunately. So anybody that has sat in the presence of God through treatment or meditation knows what a mind-blowing experience this can be. And I started thinking back to a situation I was going through about a week ago. I was on a committee, and there was a power struggle going on. And I just wanted to walk away and not have anything to do with it. And so before a meeting that was going to be crucial to our existence, I decided to sit and pray and meditate for a while. And all of a sudden, I just felt like all this joy, this enormous presence was inside of me. And I knew I had just touched, I had felt the God within me that exists in each one of us. So I went to that meeting and I just cherished that feeling. When you feel that inside of you, it's hard to let it go. You just want to soak it in. And I know that I must have looked and acted differently in the meeting. And it was amazing how well everybody got along. And we were able to work together to come up with solutions. And I thought to myself, this is a great example of why it's so important to feel that presence of spirit within us. Because it's there. It's just that we're not always in touch with it. So Holmes says the purpose of prayer or spiritual communion is to seek conscious union with this indwelling presence. And I can tell you from that one experience, not that I haven't had others, but it's really worth it, guys. So also, another recent experience, I belong to a group of knitters, and we gather every week for a couple of hours to knit, and mostly we gab. We talk about all kinds of things. We have amazing discussions because all of the members are widely traveled all over the world, and each one is extremely well-read and has a fairly deep spiritual relationship within. So we just use knitting as an excuse to get together and talk for a couple hours. So this week, we were talking about prejudice because I just gotten off listening to a BBC interview of a Jerusalem resident. And it sounded a lot more like an argument with a journalist than an interview because it was, he kept talking over the interviewer. So one of my fellow knitters had spent a lot of time in Jerusalem. And had, you know, she started talking about the prejudice that she experienced in the city, again, between the Jews and the Muslims that living there. And so as I listened to her, I kept thinking about that experience when I was preparing for that potentially hostile meeting that transformed my thinking and my feeling about living with healing awareness. And I started thinking to myself, I didn't say anything in the gabbing group, but I thought, what would the world be like today if each one of us took the time and opportunity to connect with the presence of God on an ongoing basis? And I started wondering if some of the conflict that exists today, some of the culture wars or wars in general, would exist if we felt that ongoing presence. And I know for myself, when I feel that inside, I have a hard time wanting to argue with anybody. Mostly I want to connect with other people and to talk and share ideas. What would the world be like if we decided we were going to connect with everybody, with that spirit within, and then connect with other people? So Holmes said, we're all screwed up about what we think is spiritual. Yes, he said screwed up. We think unless you put on a long face and count your beads and say the Lord's Prayer that you're really praying. And there was a time when there wasn't any Lord's Prayer and there were no beads to count. He says you are greater than every saint and sage, any person is for himself, greater than all the saints that ever lived because no one can live by proxy. You go there all alone. Nobody can open the door but yourself and nobody can close it but yourself. So it's in our hands. So we don't need some kind of ritual to get into that awareness of the presence of God within us. And if prayers and beads get you there, that's so be it. But if you remember that awesome experience and feeling of the oneness with God, you don't need props to get you there quickly. You don't need to think I'm praying to some God out there because God resides within you. So I wanted to read something that was in the February Daily Guides. Reverend Raymond Anderson wrote them, and I thought it was great, perfect for today. He says in his book, Spiritual Awareness, Holmes discussed the nature of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is a movement of thought within the mind of the one praying along a definite line of meditation that is for a specific purpose. Prayer, like meditation or contemplation, is for the purpose of unifying our mind with the universal mind, opening up avenues of our thought to greater influx. Oh, I love that thought. Many of us say we want better lives, but we won't pray effectively. We say we want healthier, more prosperous lives, but we won't pray effectively. We say we want more loving relationships. We want peace on earth and goodwill for all people, but still we will not pray effectively. Why are we not mastering our ability to do spiritual mind treatments? Do we not believe that prayer works? Are we not curious to know how to pray more effectively? And Holmes says, now it is the law of the being of each one of us that everything he does shall prosper, that joy shall follow him, that love shall flow through him to everything he touches in healing and wholeness, that everything he touches is made whole. This is the law of each one of us, and we accept the law of our own being. We accept the realization of the light and life and power and presence of the truth at the center of our being. We accept the absoluteness of that truth and our own authority in it. So it's like, yes, that gives us permission. Yes, let's go connect with God some more. And so what if we not only accepted the realization of light and life and power in the presence of truth on our daily basis, how would our world and country change? And that's the thought I leave you with. And so it is. So can we take a 10-minute break now?
Thank you, Judy.
Okay.
Take it away, Ed.
Whenever you're ready, I am ready. Don't worry.
I'm ready. I know that there's a presence and a power greater than I am. I know that there's a love that casts out all fear. I know that there is a faith which overcomes all obstructions. I now enter into this love. I now use this faith and know a great peace of mind, a deep sense of belonging, a complete realization that God is right where I am. I believe that the spirit within me, which is God, makes perfect and peaceful the way before me. I enter into conscious union with everything that lives. I commune with the spirit and all people and all things. I feel an intimate relationship to the presence and the power which control everything. I put my whole trust in God. I know that spirit gently leads me and wisely counsels me. I know that the love which envelops everything flows through me to everyone, and with it there goes a confidence, a sense of joy and peace, as well as a buoyant enthusiasm and a zest for life. There comes back to me today everything that makes life worthwhile, everything that flows from the inner realm of fathomless peace, the indwelling presence of God. And take it away, Ed.
Thank you.